from WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. Let's get right to it, folks. It is a big, big show. Today's topic for mastication and rumination is Thanksgiving 2013, Eater X, The Sporkful Interview. Well, this is a big one, friends. We do it every year, the annual Sporkful Thanksgiving show. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. It is all eaters' favorite holiday of the year. It is really probably the most eating-centric holiday of the year. And who better to talk to than a professional, competitive eater, Tim Eater X Janis. Now, I should say, when I taped this interview with Eater X, he was the number 3-ranked competitive eater in the world. Since then, he has moved up to number 2, so this guy's on the rise. Now, I do want to give one quick disclaimer, which is that I do not endorse or recommend eating like a competitive eater most of the time, as much as I love to eat, and we all love to eat. All that being said, Thanksgiving is not most of the time. Thanksgiving is a special day, and really it is the one day a year when we are all competitive eaters. Anyway, I had a great time talking to Eater X. It was super interesting to hear more about the life of a competitive eater. We talked about what happens to his stomach before and after a competition. How much money do you make as a competitive eater? What's it like to pick up girls when you are a competitive eater? And then the show culminates with a special Thanksgiving Day pep talk from Eater X to you, the loyal eaters and listeners of The Sporkful. So let's get right to it. Here's my interview with Eater X. I'm here now in the living room of Tim Eater X Janis. Hey, Tim.
Hey.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, thanks for coming.
So first off, I just want to kind of set the scene here. Now, I see your kitchen area.
Yes.
And lined up drying on top of your stove is 6 separate 64-ounce plastic cups, like sort of big gulp style cups, for lack of a better term. They're drying on the rack there. What are those for?
Those are actually just for cleaning stuff. I had them down below my sink. Yeah. So those have no relevance.
Some part of an elaborate training ritual. Well, let's finish setting the scene here. There's also an array of impressive trophies and even one belt. The trophy over here is your 2004 Rookie of the Year.
Is that right? Yeah, correct.
That's a large sort of trophy cup chalice. What are the other ones up here?
I don't even know. I think one of those up top is a Nathan's, maybe a second place on the 4th of July contest.
Okay.
And that's the biggest contest in the world, so I haven't won it yet. My dream, I think everybody's dream who's a competitive eater, is to win that contest. But second place is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of those. And then there's a linguine record, which is actually, I didn't even eat linguine to win that trophy. The contest was switched at the last minute to tiramisu, but the title plate still says linguine.
Right, right. How did that seems like, that's got to be a strategy shift at the last minute.
It was tricky, yeah. We weren't expecting it, but you have to adjust. You know, that's the nature of competitive eating sometimes. And then there's also the Ben's World Chili Eating Championship Cup, which I won in October. I ate 2 gallons in 6 minutes. That's the world record. I beat Joey Chestnut, who's the world champion of hot dogs and just about everything else, to win that trophy. So that's a nice trophy to have, and it's also good looking. I use it as a candy dish. But
do you ever eat or drink out of any of the trophy cups?
I tried one time with the Rookie of the Year when I first won it on Coney Island. I poured a beer into it, and it tasted like metal cleaner. So I thought I shouldn't drink the whole beer.
Right,
that was the last.
I remember seeing you say a while back in reference to the chili eating contest that you were going to practice. You were going to go out and eat some chili to practice before you went. And you said, screw it, I'm going to wing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you ended up going and winning the thing.
Right.
Talk to me about practice. When you're a competitive eater, you practice. I mean, what does that mean more? Is it something? I think it means something more than just eating a lot.
Well, some guys are really good about practicing, and they'll, you know, if they have a chili eating contest, they'll buy gallons of chili and they'll do several practices at their house. And what they'll do is they'll just simulate the contest. If it's a 6-minute contest, they'll eat as much chili as they can in 6 minutes. I don't have the discipline or the desire for that. I think, you know, you eat 2 gallons of chili in 6 minutes. It's the best chili in the world, Ben's, but you don't feel that great afterwards. You kind of ruin your day.
Really? That is shocking. Yeah, I would not have expected that.
And I don't want to ruin a couple of days getting ready for a contest, nor do I want to cut into my profits. Because I look at this and it's been a terrific adventure. I've been doing this for 9 years. I love it. But there's a business aspect to it. And if I couldn't travel around without making some money, if I were losing money on these contests, I'd cut back in a hurry. And so you go out and you do 3 or 4 chili practices, you're out some serious money. You do a hot dog practice and you're going to be out $60. So you got to, I'm very careful. I'm very stingy in that respect.
Right. So you kind of answered my next question. You talked about how eating a couple gallons of chili in 5 minutes does not make you feel very good.
Right. Yeah.
The obvious question then is, so why do you do it?
Well, I mean, it doesn't make you feel so bad that you want to stop. You feel full. You know, you feel full and you feel a little gross because that's a lot of food to have sitting around for several hours. So I do it. You know, I don't know entirely, but a lot of it is because of the adventure, I think, because I never know where competitive eating is going. When I started this, I was 27, 36 now. And I was a day trader, and things were not easy at the time. And so I was looking just to get away from work, to get away from the pressure of it, but I couldn't afford to go on a vacation because I was so broke. And I read about a contest in New York City, and I thought, well, that's going to be a fun day, so I'll do this contest. And I went to the contest, and I had a great time. But I never knew it would take me to the places that I've been. Australia, Thailand, Japan, Cuba. I've seen a ton of places in the U.S. that I never would have seen otherwise. I've met a lot of interesting people. I've been on a lot of TV shows that were interesting to me as a kid. You know, did Letterman, did The Tonight Show, did these things that I never would have dreamed of. So it's been a great adventure, and you know, it helped me realize some dreams that I had as a kid and then just maybe lost track of. And then I think also I enjoy the competition of it, and I enjoy looking forward to it. I enjoy thinking about it. I enjoy pushing myself. I enjoy, you know, meeting or exceeding my goals. And when I fail to meet my goals, I enjoy getting back up and trying again.
It's interesting because, so there's this organization, Major League Eating, that oversees a lot of the competitions you're involved in. And in various outlets, you see competitive eating referred to as a sport, which I'm sure some people would find humorous.
Right.
But I think that it's actually less of a stretch than people might imagine. I mean, for instance, I mean, Tim, I knew from seeing your pictures that you're not overweight,
right.
In spite of the fact that you eat insane amounts of food from time to time. You're a very fit guy.
Right.
Make the case that this is a sport.
You know, I don't know what the definition of sport is. I mean, I sort of feel like loosely it's a physical competition. And certainly by that, you know, definition, what we're doing, it's very physical and it's very competitive. You know, you don't think of eating as being an activity a physical activity, but it is. When you're trying to do it quickly and you're trying to eat more than most people can eat, then all of a sudden it becomes this thing that is, it's a rigorous activity. It's just that people think it's very silly and they're not used to it. But otherwise, it's, you know, it's the competition, the effort, the physical talent that you need to succeed, the mental talent that you need to sort of get the best out of yourself. Those are all things that you find in traditional sports.
Tell me more about the physical talent, because I mean, there's a, I would think like sports or like so many other skills and abilities, there's a certain amount of it you can get better at through practice. But I would think that to get to be number 3 in the world, there have to be certain physical attributes that you were just born with that make you even better. Like Michael Phelps has giant feet or whatever that make act as bigger flippers in the water. What do you think that you were born with that makes you better?
Well, physically, I think I have a very elastic stomach and midsection. So I think when I put food in there, you know, my stomach, it looks like anybody else's when there's no food in there. It's kind of small. But when I put food in there, I know I'm full. But I also know that if I want to keep eating, I can keep eating. And so because that my stomach is elastic. And so I put food in there and it just keeps accommodating it, the stomach itself. I think I'm also able to override my gag reflex when I'm eating fast, because you eat a lot of, if like hot dogs is the perfect example. When you eat 50 hot dogs, the first 20, they go down like nothing. They're really easy. But, you know, you get around like 30 or so, and all of a sudden these big bites of hot dogs that you were taking and swallowing with ease, they become a little trickier to eat. Your gag reflex is heightened. But I can deal with that, I think, much better than other people. So that's another element as well. And then You have to be able to swallow big pieces of food, otherwise you just waste time chewing. I'm so-so at that. I'm not the best. There are guys out there that can swallow bigger pieces of food. I've seen Pat Bertoletti in Chicago. He could swallow a whole White Castle without even chewing it, which I find amazing. But, you know, I don't have that talent. But otherwise, physically, those are the talents that I've got. And then mentally, there's something that you have to have, and I think I've got that as well.
Do you enjoy eating separate from the competitions?
I do. I like food. I like flavor. But I don't enjoy being full anymore. When I was younger, I used to love going to buffets and seeing how much I could eat. I think there was a competition I was having with myself and with what I thought other people could do. But because I now compete in eating contests, that competitive part of me is just dead, the need to go to a buffet. I have no desire to go eat as much as I can on my off days.
And you talked sort of at the outset about at the end of a contest, you feel extremely full.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, I think anyone out there can roughly relate to the feeling of having eaten way too much and feeling really full and kind of gross. Do you recover any faster, do you think? Or do you, like, how long before you eat normally after a contest?
It depends on the contest that we're doing. Some contests, you eat things that are very digestible. So, like, we had a grape eating contest a couple of years ago, and that was fantastic because the grapes just turn into juice and then those process out very quickly, and you feel good. You don't even feel bad when it's done because you feel refreshed, full but refreshed, and then quickly you're back to normal. Other foods take longer to digest, so you know, if you were to eat like a lot of vegetables or if you were to eat, you know, like hot dogs, takes a while to digest. The meat part of it takes a while because it's so processed. So if you, and it depends too how much you actually eat. Some contests, like chicken wing contests, because it's a technique food, you don't get that much mass into your body. Maybe you get 5 pounds, 6 pounds, but that's not such an amount that you can't be comfortable pretty quickly. If you do hot dogs, you might have 20 pounds of bun, meat, and water in your stomach. So it takes a little bit longer to feel good. Usually the next day you're okay. You're always okay the next day, but you know, it could take you a while to fall asleep, and you may wake up, and you may be okay, but you may still have stuff in your stomach that's still being processed, because, you know, also when you fill your stomach up, your stomach can't do the things that it needs to do to digest. It can't do them as well as it would if you just had a little bit of food. So there's more food to work through, and there's also the process itself is actually slow.
Do you enjoy eating hot dogs at this point in your life, separately from the contest?
The funny thing is that I never enjoyed eating hot dogs until I became a competitive eater. I hated hot dogs as a kid. When I started competitive eating, I didn't like hot dogs. And I realized that was a problem because the contest itself it's the best contest in the world. And so I want to be there. I want to do well. But I realized that to do well, I had to learn to like hot dogs. And so I sat around and I said, what is good about a hot dog? And what do people enjoy? And so I would eat a hot dog. I would eat it slowly at my apartment. And each bite, I would think about the flavors. And I would tell myself, this is good. I didn't believe it right away.
Basically, like, you programmed yourself
exactly
to learn to like hot dogs.
I had to. And I would say, this salt, this is good. This garlic, this is good. This grease, this is good.
Right.
And eventually, I believed that those were desirable traits to have in a mouthful of flavor, and eating them was much easier from that moment on.
So you brainwashed yourself.
I did,
like,
yeah,
hot dogs.
I did, and it worked. But the thing is, now I don't eat very many hot dogs. I haven't had a hot dog since July 4th, but I like hot dogs. If I were at a baseball game right now, I would probably have a hot dog. So it completely worked, and I'm very happy with the results.
When you're out at bars,
yeah.
Can I ask, are you dating anyone right now?
I do have a girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay. Like, is this help with the ladies? Do you, like, it's got to be a good conversation starter, right?
In my experience, it helps. Girls are immediately interested in it, and then in my experience, if you date them for a long period of time, they very quickly lose interest in it. They start to resent it. So
do they resent it because it just makes you leave every few weekends, or because it grosses them out?
Yeah, both. But my current girlfriend thinks it's awesome, and so that means that she's awesome. So But most girls, no, they're not too keen on it after a while.
What the hell's wrong with them?
I don't know. You'd think they want you to be your best, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sounds like you got a good thing going on now.
I did all right.
All right.
I'm very lucky.
Tell me a little bit about being on the circuit.
Yeah.
The other, I mean, you're going up against the same, a lot of the same people in all these competitions. Are there like rivalries and cliques and whatnot? I mean, how does that all work?
Well, there's some. Everybody's different. I find it, I'm probably the more of a solitary guy on the circuit. I have a couple really close friends on the circuit. My old roommate, Crazy Legs Conti, is a terrific guy. He's a fun guy to hang out with. Pete DeVicas out of Boston is another guy that I love hanging out with. Pat Bertoletti's a terrific guy. So there's some guys that I really enjoy, but it's hard for me to be friends with everybody on that circuit, partly just because I don't need to be friends with everybody anyways. Everybody, you know, there's a limited number of things I find appealing in people. But but two, it's like when you're competing with these guys and, you know, it's never winner take all, but it is, you know, someone's trying to knock you down a peg. Someone's trying to take more money from you than you're going to take home. And sometimes guys resort to like just dishonesty. They, you know, we've had guys cheat and it stinks. You know, it's, to me, cheating, it's not only cheating, it's not only screwing a guy out of the glory, you know, the reward, the sort of emotional reward he deserves for his effort. It's also stealing from him. And so when I've seen that happen, I immediately sour on that person.
You say you've seen people cheat. Have you ever seen people cheat and get away with it?
Yeah, unfortunately, because it's one of those things that's hard to police. You know, if a judge doesn't see it and you can't prove it, what do you have but just your own knowledge of it?
What are some of the things people do?
We've had guys like toss hot dogs behind them. We had a guy bring a hot dog plate, like an extra plate, to a contest and try to slide it into his stack of empty plates.
Oh, I see. So they keep track by looking at the number of empty plates you have.
Yeah, we had another guy, and he would take, you know, small. He would eat half a hot dog, and then he would submerge the other half in his liquid, and then at the end of the contest, he'd quickly stack all his cups and throw them away. But he'd only eaten half the hot dogs that he claimed he'd eaten. So we've had little dirty tricks like that, and it really stinks. I mean, you know, most contests are free of controversy. Like, the Major League Eating does a great job judging things, but, you know, it's impossible to catch everything.
Is there anyone in particular you want to name?
Well, I won't call anybody out, but there are people I've confronted, and there are people that are known to be problems. And, you know, we try to deal with them. We try to make it uncomfortable for them. And when we see it, we try to police them as a group. Now we've gotten to the point where, with a couple eaters, the rest of us who are honest are always watching these guys, and we're always looking for anything they're doing wrong. And the second we see it, we point it out. And that's actually been effective, because, you know, when a judge has 12 people saying that one guy just did something rotten, it's hard for the judge to ignore that.
Right.
And so I look at that, and I have a hard time being close friends with everybody. I also need to root for myself. You know, I'm not here to root for somebody else.
You made a couple references to sort of the financial aspect of being a competitive eater.
Yeah.
I mean, can I ask you more about that? I'm just curious. I mean, I noticed, you know, I emailed Sonia Thomas also for this story, and she said, "Well, I can talk to you on my cell phone, but I don't have a landline until the nighttime because I'm going to be at work."
Okay.
So I gather that, I mean, a lot of you guys have day jobs.
Right.
I mean, can you tell me more about the financial aspect of it?
Well, there is, every contest that we compete in, it has prizes. And the prizes usually range from, you know, $3,000 to $10,000 in available prizes. We have some that are bigger. Nathan's is bigger. I think that's like $20,000. We had CP Foods, which is an Asian food distributor, last year. And they sent us all around the world and paid us money to show up, and that was terrific. So there are bigger, you know, prizes out there, but typically you have $3,000 to $10,000 split, you know, 3 to 7 ways. You know, a first prize is usually $1,500 to $5,000. Second prize might be $1,000 to $3,000. So you can make some money doing these things, but
you, who pays your expenses to fly to these places and stay in a hotel or whatever?
Well, you know, it depends on the sponsor for that too. You know, most contests, I think most guys pay their own way. So they're automatically out a few $100s if they're flying. Some guys, you know, obviously if you're the number one eater in the world, you're going to get flown a few more places than the number 20 eater in the world. But there is money at these contests, but there aren't, I don't think anybody wants to go to a contest every week. The number one eater in the world, it's been published that he makes $200,000 from competitive eating. There's a big drop off when you get to number two. It goes down to about $45,000. I'm number three. There's a drop off between two and three. So, you know, it's to me, it's extra money. This is retirement money. This is stuff that I put away. But I look at it as a business. If I go to a contest and I don't make money, then I've done something wrong. And so I analyze as much as I can before I sign up for a contest and I decide if it's one I want to go to. And I've been pretty successful at you know, maximizing my effort in a dollar sense.
Tell me a bit about the Eater X persona. How'd that all come about?
I painted my face when I was in college. I started painting my face for basketball games. I thought it made me more menacing when I'd heckle. And so I started painting it in the style of a wrestler from the 80s, the Ultimate Warrior. And I thought he was awesome. He was a crazy wrestler. And I thought it was just a cool way to paint my face. And so when I first did these eating contests, I thought, well, I remembered having fun painting my face. And I thought, well, that'll be fun and, you know, appropriate, I think, for a spectacle like a competitive eating contest. So I painted my face. And the people liked it. The fans liked it. The media liked it. The other eaters liked it. And so when I signed up for another contest, I thought, well, I should paint my face again. And so I painted my face again. And people remembered me. And so I realized, okay, well, this is something I should keep doing.
And when you're budgeting going to these competitions, is face paint something you have to factor in?
Face paint's pretty cheap. I've been lucky. Yeah, it's I think it's like $6 a bottle.
Okay, you should know. You probably know when the price goes up 20 cents.
I notice. I do. Right? Yeah, and you can really stretch it. So I think I spend about $20 a year on face paint.
What do you think you'll do? I mean, you said you don't want to leave competitive eating before you're sure you've had your fill.
Right.
No pun intended.
I know.
Don't you ever get tired? I work in the food world too, so I think you fall into food puns by accident all the time, and then everyone's like, oh, don't want to get your fill.
Right.
Oh, get it, you know?
I don't even say no pun intended anymore.
Right. What do you think you'll do when you're all done with this?
I have no idea. I've never really known what I want to do. I wish I did. Some people know. They're born. They know they want to be a doctor. They go to medical school. Everything's laid out very, very neatly for them. Some people are good at just like saying, well, I'm just going to try this for a few years. I'm not. I just sit there and I think about it, and then I don't do stuff. So I don't know what I'll do. I got to figure that out. That's going to be interesting. One thing I dream about is just moving far away, another country, just trying something different. Just go somewhere that's interesting, not worry about what I'm going to do, and then figure it out.
You mentioned doctors.
Yeah.
I should ask you, do you go to one? And if so, what does he or she say about your competitive eating?
I don't go to doctors too often because I don't really get sick. And, I'm still young, so I don't know that the physicals are that critical at this point. And I don't even know if I talk to the doctors about what I do. It just depends. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I go to a dentist.
I would think, is tooth care important for a competitive eater?
It is, and I have bad teeth. I ate a lot of candy growing up, so I have a lot of cavities, and I've also had some accidents where I've chipped teeth, so there's a lot of bonding work, and so actually that was one of the more devastating, disappointing competitive eating injuries. I chipped a tooth in a pork rind contest, and so I had to have that bonded, and that's expensive. So I think I won $3,000 for that contest, but I had to spend about $500 getting the tooth fixed.
How are the pork rinds?
The pork rinds are tough. My gosh, they give you like a big bucket in that contest, and then you had to figure out how you're going to eat them. And so you would jam your hands into this big bucket of pork rinds. You'd scrape your knuckles up in the process, so you're bleeding afterwards. And then you would smash them into your face, and you try to grind them with your front teeth. But you'd also scrape your lips up. You'd scrape your gums up, and in my case, you'd chip the tooth as well.
So let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
As we've said, I think there are certain just physical gifts that you have and tricks of the trade that you've learned over time that the average person may not really be able to pick up on and probably maybe shouldn't pick up on. But I'm a regular guy. I love Thanksgiving. I want to eat a lot of Thanksgiving.
Right.
What are some basic things that I can do going into the Thanksgiving meal to allow me to eat more?
Well, there's a couple things that you have to remember on Thanksgiving. One is, if you're going to drink, if you want to get a buzz on Thanksgiving, you should do it before you start eating a lot of food. Because if you fill up on food and then you try to drink that food, it's gonna absorb all the booze, and you're never gonna feel anything. So a lot of people ask us if we go out partying after, you know, big contests. And it's hard. There's no reason to drink a beer on top of 10 pounds of food because you're never going to feel it. So if you're going to drink, drink early. Food-wise, you consider sort of how things are going to digest. And people always think, I think a lot of people think vegetables are going to process out pretty quickly, but they don't. They take the longest time to digest, I think. So you want to go with the carbs first, like the breads, eat those first, lay that as the bottom layer, because those will turn to mush inside your stomach very quickly and go right to your intestines very quickly, which will free up space for more food. Meats are kind of similar, actually. You'd think they would take a while to digest, but because they're cooked, they break into very small pieces very quickly in your stomach, and they pass through pretty quickly too. It's the vegetables that give you the problem. So the way you want to lay the foundation, it's breads and grains, meats, and then vegetables.
So you heard it here from Tim Eater ex Janice, lay off the vegetables.
Exactly. Right. That's good news for all the kids out there.
Right. I had heard also that some competitive eaters, like on the morning of a competition, will drink, let's say, a gallon of water to kind of stretch out their stomach, and then they can pee the water out, and then their stomach is stretched.
Yeah, some guys will do that too. I don't know if it works. I think it's one of those things that people do it, and they keep doing it because they think it works.
And then in terms of just the mental part of it, I want you to give a little pep talk right now.
Yeah.
There's a person out there who's going to be listening to this just before Thanksgiving dinner. And let's allow them to put themselves in the position of they've eaten one plate. Maybe they're getting towards the end of the second plate. But the food is delicious, though. They want to eat more. I want you to tell this person, what do they need to be thinking about? What do they need to know to be able to reach deep inside and eat more Thanksgiving dinner?
So this hypothetical person is more concerned with eating a lot of food than he is with feeling good, right?
Let's shoot for some balance between the two. I don't want to make anyone like physically ill here.
Okay.
But they want to eat maybe a little more than they think they can eat.
Okay. I mean, it comes down to discipline, to mental strength and discipline. And I always feel like if you're going to do something, You want to do it as well as you can so that you don't regret not giving your best effort. So once you start, once you've set your goal, once you've started eating a lot, if you quit, you're going to have to wait a whole year to try again, and you're going to be angry at yourself for a whole year. I try to remember what's important to me. I try to remember why I'm there, because I know there's going to come a time when I'm going to want to quit, and I want to have it in my head that I won't allow myself to quit. So I'm always saying, all right, focus, push through, be as strong as you can be, because you can do a lot if you push yourself to your extremes, and you can go a lot further than you think you can go. There have been contests where I've just, you know, I've felt completely stuffed, but I know that if I want to push the food there, I can push the food there still, and so just focus, I guess, sort of, you know, stay strong the whole time.
All right, that's very uplifting. Yeah. I think I may add some like uplifting patriotic music underneath that.
Right.
You know, really, really drive it home. Well, Tim Eater ex Janice, follow him on Twitter at Eater ex. Good luck in your next competition, and thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Hey, folks, remember to connect with me and the Sporkful on the old interwebs on Twitter at the Sporkful. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Sporkful. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.